Hey, audio listener, still Mug Club Quarantine Month, all of April. Everything is available for free. I know you're probably saying, this is overloading my Apple podcast that used to be iTunes or whatever the hell it is. But that's because we want to give everything away for free so you know what you're missing behind the paywall, as well as connect with people during this time. Everyone's hurting. Some people are stepping up, retooling factories. We can't do that. We can provide you with more content than ever before. And so we've added for the month of April three morning shows, 10 a.m. Eastern. Livewithcutter.com/mugclub. Please do consider joining. Enter in the promo code quarantine and you get $30 off. And of course, for the full schedule, livewithcutter.com/schedule, because there's a lot of stuff. It's like TV Guide only. Crowder. Gerald, Crowder.
Louder with Crowder Studios, protected exclusively by Walther.
And Betty!
This is one of the most astonishing acts of disinformation we've seen from a White House since the Vietnam era.
Active misinformation.
Disinformation briefings.
And Trump makes me feel scared.
The press needs to do a better job. They need to unplug this stuff.
We are going to avoid airing any more of this White House briefing until it returns to what it was supposed to be.
You're so disgraceful.
You're a terrible reporter.
You know you're a fake. You know that. Your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake.
CNN's coverage of the president's COVID-19 briefing has been indefinitely halted to prevent disinformation. Do not watch Louder with Crowder's live stream of President Trump's briefing on Tuesday, April 21st, around 5 p.m. And definitely do not follow S. Crowder on Twitter for updates regarding it.
In 2019, a crack late night show was demonetized by YouTube's Community Safety Court for a crime they didn't commit. Today, still wanted by YouTube, they survive, soldiers of fortune. If there is a leftist no one else will make fun of, and if you can find them, you can hire the LWC team.
This is a mask, by the way, from Origin Maine.
Finish it.
There you go. If you guys want to get them, because people now the CDC is saying wear masks. I thought it was a fashion statement.
Oh.
I thought people were wearing masks. Yeah. Turns out we were right 2 weeks ago when we said masks would help. Thinking about Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Because you kind of look like a Mortal Kombat character. Remember when you used to get hit Mortal Kombat? They would go like this. They'd go, and slide back.
Yeah. I love it.
Well, yeah, it's more proof that your people can't act. Yeah. Even the people with all the little sensors in the video games, like the Gollum guy, like, hey, how would a Chinese person who shoots ice out of his hands react if he got hit? Oh, I don't know.
But walk back, not actually fall.
Hey, says the guy who's following my people's advice to wear a mask all the time.
It's true.
It's true.
Your people were right. I was wrong about those
microphones. That hygiene is
We have Ben Shapiro on the show today, by the way.
Yeah.
And I will let you know that was a pre-tape because Passover, and he doesn't want to trick the Lord.
Can't course, trick him.
Hashtag Mug Club Quarantine. Everything is free this month. We are doing shows in the morning. What was I going to say? Good Morning Mug Club.
Good Morning Mug Club. Yes.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Monday, Wednesday,
you get $30 video. Off because YouTube doesn't pay us anything. Right. We'll be talking about de Blasio, why everything is bad. And question for who do you, at this point, honestly, we've blamed the World Health Organization. Some people have blamed Donald Trump. Some people have blamed China. Some people have blamed, who do you think is most at fault here? I'm actually really curious. My half Asian lawyer, Bill Richmond, is here. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I blame my mother.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Now, that's an entirely
different
issue.
Every night when you guys leave the studio, she comes in and coughs on everything.
Does she?
Yeah. Huh.
I just thought she committed gross abuse and negligence as a mother.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, that's part and parcel of it.
Well, okay. And Corda Black Garrett is here.
What's up?
It is the Latin King's Fisherman Friends outfit. And
you gotta
Latin
catch
King's
those fish,
purple
man.
And yellow, or is it black and yellow?
They're marine and
am
gold.
I thinking of the Lakers?
Yeah.
Just wear taupe.
Yes. Just
if
be
you're
safe.
In Skid Row.
Hey, I can't be. I need to button the top button.
Really?
I'm in the Latin Kings.
Okay.
Yeah. No. I'm just, I can't be accepted.
So that's where George Lopez gets it. Too cute, Maddie, and overlays. Gerald A. Gerald Morgan Jr. What's the wine of the day?
Wine of the day is Keenan Cabernet Franc.
Wow. But, and I love how you brought it in half full so it looks like an old Worcestershire bottle.
What are you talking
that
about?
That you find in the fridge.
I may have consumed half of this bottle last night.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's a shame. Yeah. You know what makes coronavirus worse?
What?
Nothing. Okay, so we're going to get to a whole lot today. But
more coronavirus.
Talking about de Blasio, because my gosh, when you get into it, he's done absolutely everything wrong. But first, it appears that Joe Biden, running for president, of course, still has his work cut out for him.
They've essentially made us all morons with this Joe Biden thing.
Democrats, please don't make me vote for Joe Biden. Please don't make me vote for Joe Biden.
We won't.
Please, you don't have to.
We won't. Just
please
stop shaking the Advil.
Yeah. We won't. Don Quixote swinging at windmills. Stop making me vote for. No one is saying that.
Yeah.
You're a crazy person.
Loved it.
I don't know. I think we have to trot someone out at convention.
I could do better.
I don't know. We have to talk about de Blasio. I wanted to talk about Whitmer because my heart is in Michigan.
Yes.
And she is so awful. And it's so
big
clear
overreach.
She's auditioning for the role of vice president now.
Yeah.
I'd be less surprised if they trotted out John Kasich.
Yeah.
Than if Joe Biden were the nominee.
I can take away civil liberties too. Look at me.
Right.
She's walking the line. You know, it is interesting that, you know, you're hearing a lot about Democrats who were, you know, they were sad that Biden's even there, but now they're actually starting to even talk amongst themselves about the question of you got to pick a vice president because they might have to step in for Biden 6 days in if he wins.
I mean,
6 months ago, you didn't hear that at all. And so it's really interesting. And then now they're like, well, okay, well, we don't like civil liberties, so Whitmer.
That's, I think, pretty much what they said. Leading the news, I don't know how to pronounce this.
Sue.
Sue.
Sue. Sue.
Not Psyox. Sue.
A little boy named Scalped. A Sioux City woman was arrested after asking police to check her drugs for COVID-19.
Wow.
She approached the officers, was very nervous, and asked them to try and test her drug paraphernalia and her drugs for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And it should be noted upon further examination, the samples, while they tested negative for COVID-19, did test positive for crack.
Mm. You're going to want to
no
wait
COVID
on that
one. On the crack.
Yeah.
So also in pandemic news, tested positive for crack. Pandemic news. That's a pandemic year.
That's more time in jail.
My wife really liked that one.
Yeah, that's strange.
I want to apologize for it. A man discovered. Oh, Gerald's silence is almost like an affirmation of a joke sometimes.
Yeah,
so,
really
you really don't know how to play it off of me. You know,
it's like, true. Hmm. I don't. It's like I'm trying to bounce it off a backboard and it just goes over a fence.
Well, sometimes it comes back, sometimes it doesn't.
I was going to say the backboard.
No, it's always doesn't.
Okay.
I'm joking. He's a brilliant man.
No. I'm going to drink the rest of this bottle.
Yeah, I know. Enjoy your Worcestershire.
Pop the cork.
A man discovered his girlfriend buried. She buried his stockpile of beans in the woods in case, quote, the coronavirus gets bad.
Hey, she's just a prepper.
Joke's on her, as the Giants, too, are in quarantine. So there's nowhere it's safe.
Why would you bury something in the woods if it gets bad? I don't get it.
I mean, if it's a corpse going bad.
Well, yes.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Stupid idea.
Shallow grave. Checking in with our, by the way, the elderly folks, because yep, they're really important here. And also elderly in spirit, our guest tonight, Ben Shapiro.
elderly before his time.
Yes.
There's a 93-year-old Pennsylvania woman. Yeah. She went viral this week after she had this message about her beer during the outbreak pandemic.
93-year-old Olla Veronesi held up a Coors Light can and a sign that said she needs more beer while doing her part to stay home and safe. A relative snapped this picture and posted it online. Since then, folks have been sending some brews her way.
I have a beer every night. I got some in there now. Do you want one? Some to relax, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
She made me relax.
Looks like a Christopher Guest, Ed Begley Jr. character. That is an actual human being. And the news, I want to know what story lost out to this.
Right. Yeah.
When you're asking the taxpayers to bail out local news and you're running Ed Begley Jr.
This is what they go to.
With an indecipherable. I mean, it's not even decipherable what she's saying.
No.
I thought she looked like the KFC Colonel Sanders' wife with those glasses. And the old, I mean, she
or the
had
Six
all
Flags
of it,
guy.
I'm not familiar with his wife.
Mrs. Sanders.
By the way, while we're talking about this, this is a blind spot that we've all had. Privilege much? This is as good of a time as any to point out that COVID-19 disproportionately, you know, it's a nice little special, but it does disproportionately affect marginalized classes. Yeah.
This virus is taking a toll on all of us, but one man decided to ask for a helping hand.
Yeah, this thing's really affected our community, but people really stepped up, and I appreciate that.
It's good to know that some people still care.
Is there anything you would take in lieu of personal drink?
Yeah, I'd take some crack.
Tested positive for crack.
Look at him. He looks so mellow now.
He actually cuts his crack with 3/4 meth.
Oh, you got to. I mean,
you really do have to cut.
It's a proprietary blend. Yeah. He's really more so pixie dusting the crack into his meth.
Yeah. Well, so, I have more respect for him. At least he didn't ask for beer.
Right.
Right. So
pretty much.
I'm fine with her.
I don't even know what that means, but I do know that he loves both meth and crack. Can't get that biracial monkey off his back. Wait, let's go with some. Can't get that biracial fish off his back. We didn't imply
fish.
We should never say monkey. Internationally, China.
Move on.
Isn't that just so bizarre? Who was it who got fired because they were talking about someone really strong in the NFL and said, that guy is just like, he's strong like a silverback gorilla. And they go, because he's black. Like,
no.
You could say that about anyone who's crazy strong.
Right. Yes, you could. It's totally fine.
I made the mistake in
powerful
using
animal.
It to refer to Precious, though. So that was on me.
That was.
Can't fire yourself.
I can't get it right. So China, you know what I'm talking about, they're signaling that they're planning to officially ban the eating of dogs after the species was recently, now they're excluded from a list of animals approved for human consumption. Mm. So dogs are now excluded for human consumption in China.
Yeah, that's good.
Still included, the Taiwanese.
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
Yeah.
Prophetic.
Yeah, love that man. He's the Buddha we need.
He is. But you don't hate the Taiwanese. You don't hate the Taiwanese, though. You sympathize with them.
Oh, absolutely. The Taiwanese, they fought. They fled. They're still fighting. They're still hanging out there.
Still fleeing.
They're just, you know, kind of one American look away from getting nuked by China, which sucks. But here we are.
It is. You know, I realize I know about Taiwan, and I know about, obviously, the controversy, but I don't know a whole lot about the actual fight.
Well, Taiwan is there. They're on an island. They fled. They consider themselves a nation. Anyone who recognizes Taiwan goes on China's shit list.
Yeah.
Not good.
Seems really odd, though, that they could actually, you know, be on an island that close to China and still alive.
Right.
You know what I mean? It seems very weird to me. Like, could you imagine if Rhode Island was like, we're leaving!
Bye.
You were taking it! And we just said, well, I mean, there's nothing we can do. It's Rhode Island.
They said they're taking it.
What do we do?
Yeah, you feel like the Chinese could have taken care of this. I'm glad they didn't, but
you sound like you're in favor of my people's plan to take over Taiwan.
I'm not at all, in fact.
No? He sounds like he's in favor of ransacking Rhode Island.
Yeah.
He wants to just go into Providence.
Gerald.
Who among us is not?
Yeah, I don't know. I just have annoying accents. Well, I don't know if it's Rhode Island or Maine. Which one's bad?
Both.
They're both bad.
I don't think there's anything redeemable about
Finally, with COVID-19 news, and tomorrow we have Good Morning Mug Club. I think we have Brian Callen on the show, Dr. Nice. Choi is going to be on the show, so that'll be good.
Fantastic.
Today we have Ben Shapiro. A police officer got his hand chopped off with a sword while enforcing coronavirus lockdown measures.
Wow. Damn.
This comes from Newsweek. It happened while the officer patrolled outside a vegetable market in northwestern India, got his hand chopped off with a sword. To be fair, the officer in question did try to steal an apple.
Arabian Nights, like Arabian Days.
Oh,
cultural differences. You say justified punishment. We say barbarism.
Yeah, we say an amazing Disney classic.
It is.
He's never going to steal with that.
Can
hand
you imagine,
again, though,
like when they said they were going to turn Aladdin into a real live action film? I thought it was going to be like, you know, grisly. I thought it was going to be, you know, gritty, and it was going to be like you know,
it
would actually be in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And instead, it was Will Smith doing the genie light. Like I was like, well, hold on a second. Where are the four witnesses? Where's the stoning of Soraya M?
Yeah, where's all the dustiness? The set's too clean.
If we want it, Princess Jasmine should be buried up to her head with honey poured on her noggin until the Red Army ants eat her alive.
I want to see the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight version of each Disney movie.
Right.
Inception level. I'm going to get down in the dirt.
It's like, here's the Lion King, only it's non-sequential. What's happening?
Time.
Look, Simba's alive. Now he's in the womb. Now we're back. What are you doing, Nolan? Did you ever meet a gimmick you don't like?
No.
Though you pulled him off very well.
Yeah, he did.
He pulls them off
Made
very
some money
well.
With
the Prestige, those were bits of his soul in that box. Memento, it was backwards.
Yeah, also backwards. Spoiler alert,
I should say.
Oh, yeah.
That was a big thing when I was in film school. Probably. Have you watched Memento?
Oh, my
Have
gosh.
You watched it in reverse? I was like, why would
film
I do that?
Genius.
It's life-changing. Okay, I'll play. How did it change your life?
Well,
it was cool. All right. Now I understand.
I had a good time.
you with the Wes Anderson t-shirt. So let's go to, and I do want to hear from everyone out there who you really blame with this coronavirus. I will say this, and I'm thinking about doing a super video with this. I was, again, at Quick Trip this morning. Please, just be a,
like every day.
A sponsor. It is remarkable.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't make a dime.
What is this, race like three
track,
times?
Racetrack sucks. Racetrack is Quick trash.
Okay.
7-Eleven, I would rather blow my brains out all over this wall than use a public stall in a 7-Eleven.
I will give you that.
It's like an episode of fucking Lock Up. And I don't know why they don't take notes from Quick Trip. And Quick Trip, I don't know why you aren't taking notes from me. I will sell everything you have at
true.
Quick Trip. I'm going there. You still have water. You still have Topo Chico. Everywhere else has a shortage. You need me. And I need you.
You
honestly,
need
it's a mutually beneficial relationship.
My wife never understood why Quick Trip was such a big deal to me. I was like, we didn't have this in Montreal.
Did she ever walk into a Quick Trip though?
She has, but she had never walked into a Couche-Tard or an Ultramar. She has no idea what I grew up with.
Yeah.
The cesspool of filth and sadness where the hardcore pornography in Montreal was placed right next to the Sour Skittles. That's what I grew up with.
You make the same face when
Not
you look at
them. All cultures are the same. I get it.
Look it up. Allopolis. Allopolis started the tabloid journal that combined violence and pornography, and they would put it right next to the Smarties. Wait, that's a Canadian thing. What's an American?
Smarties.
Smarties.
You have Smarties?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's
of
the
course.
Candy. It's the candy.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, Smarties in Canada are chocolate. They're basically M&M.
What?
Never mind.
It doesn't make any sense.
Never mind.
It's a horrible place.
White is like black. Black is white.
No, we just we don't really have many
if
blacks. Unless they're Haitian.
There was ever
have to be
a
racist
reason to invade Canada.
That's what I'm saying.
Chocolate Smarties.
Compare Taiwan, Canada. Why don't we just take it?
We could. We very well could. Hold on. What do you think about Buc-ee's, though, if you're a big fan of QT?
Anyone who puts a Buc-ee's bumper sticker on their car,
I didn't ask about that,
should be boiled with their own turkey with a steak of holly driven through their heart.
Yeah. Steak of holly?
It is so good,
so specific.
Lord. Audio Wade, help me out here.
Dickens, come on.
God!
Guys.
No, I got it. I'm just being sarcastic.
What?
Pretending to be stupid is sarcastic.
Nice.
Who said I was pretending, Wade?
In the comments below, if you'd like us to drive a steak through Gerald A.,
a steak of holly. It has to be a steak of holly.
I get into the biggest arguments with Wade, and here's why, Audio Wade. the friendliest seeming person. When Audio Wade is frustrated, the kind of insults that he delivers are the kind of like the kind of gut punch that would render an entire bloodline barren.
It's true.
Like it is so brutal, and then he'll say it. I'll say, "Say it on air." He's like, "My dad's watching." I'm like, "I don't care."
Right. Yeah,
it needs
exactly.
to. This is funny.
I'm glad we have the meat segment left. I'm just waiting for his next jab.
No, no, no. He does it to me too. He does it to me. It doesn't matter if you're signing the back of the check or fronts of checks. He's a dick.
Either way. All right. Equal well, at least it's equal opportunity.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
Beating me to the punch. He likes that they clear. So, here's the thing. I want to talk about New York because I think it not only is New York obviously leading the United States in coronavirus,
right.
Wu flu, Kung flu, Chinese virus, whatever you want to call it, cases and deaths. And it's not lost on me that the idea of per capita, that's something the media does, by the way, right? They say we have more infections, we have more infections and deaths than any other country. But then all of a sudden when they say we don't have enough testing, they use the per capita scale. It's like, well, hold on, shouldn't we apply it to both?
It should be.
Because per capita deaths, we're not even close to the countries that you praise. Belgium, France, Sweden. Not Sweden. Belgium, France, Spain, Italy.
Definitely
you
China.
Know,
if we
countries that are insignificant on a global scale as it relates to medical research.
Interchangeable, really.
For some reason, they go back and forth. So keep an eye on that because that does matter. Sometimes you will see even in the same article, they'll reference infections and deaths total. And then in the very same paragraph, they will reference the testing not being up to snuff.
Right.
We have more tests than any other country. We don't have the best number of testing per capita, but it's actually a significantly better number than you look at the difference between the total of deaths versus per capita deaths.
Right.
There's a wider gap with those.
Pretty much anything that they can do to make Donald Trump look bad or make the situation look worse than it is, they'll do. That's the general rule, I think.
Has anyone else noticed that Donald Trump stopped dyeing his hair?
Did he?
See the last
really?
What
his
is it
hair
now?
Was gray.
And
the
I
last pressers.
No.
Or depends which phraseology. Natural.
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
Maybe
I bet he's dying at gray. It's actually.
I bet you they're probably. You haven't aged.
I need a stronger orange.
He's like, I need to look like this is stressful for me. I need to look like it's been hard on me
need
too.
To look distinguished.
Yeah.
Could we do just. They're like, I don't know. How about a touch of gray? No, olive gray. Olive gray.
He goes
can
all
I get
in.
Some sideburns? You can't grow them. You're fired.
And he's going to stop tanning, too, probably, so.
Do not reference my pube burns. I have no idea. I get the sense that he could not grow sideburns.
No.
I cannot confirm.
That's why he surrounds himself
brutal.
With people who can.
So you all know that New York, obviously New York, they've added tremendous, in a terrible way, a tragic number of deaths and cases, right? They just passed everywhere else, of course, in the country. They didn't just pass them, but it's just we just had a surge. But here's what also matters. They just added 3,700 deaths, which sounds really bad because
that's
you hear, oh, wait, hold on, we've crested, we've hit the peak, right? We're flattening the curve. And then they go, more deaths than ever in New York. Well, actually, these deaths had never been tested, just to be clear. We can bring that up from the New York Times. These are 3,700 deaths that they added saying, mark them down as COVID.
That's
wow.
That seems a bit strange.
And so think about that for a second. 3,700. When you look at the total deaths, I don't know at the time of this broadcast, it's somewhere between 28 and 29,000, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Something like that,
3,700 could be a guess. Your guess is as good as mine. Yeah. That matters, especially when you go, okay, let's say 30,000. Let's round it up. Let's take away people who are over the age of 80. Let's take away people who have diabetes or have serious heart conditions. Let's take away all the ones that are just, mark it down as COVID. And guess what? You are left with an unbelievably small number of deaths. Doesn't mean that those deaths don't matter, but it does matter in us gauging the response and the accuracy of the kind of aftermath that we'll have from this disease.
Yeah. You know what's the unintended consequence of this, of these reclassifying? Is it's going to skew the concerns that we have about these other types of death, right? So the flu numbers. People are saying, oh, there's no flu deaths anymore. Really, our problem is just COVID. It's all COVID. It's COVID all the time, right? But then you think about, okay, so what does this mean? These statistics will be repeated ad nauseum. People who are studying the flu, research into the flu, research into these other areas, preventative measures into all the other things that people are still dying from will lose out. Not just today, not next month, but next year when the budgets come up and everyone goes, no, 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 no. Give the bonus to the COVID. Give all the research to the COVID.
Wait, who's giving a bonus to COVID?
No, no, no. Like people who are like, if you're researching,
I guess it's done its job well.
COVID
who knows?
Has stock options.
Yeah,
good job.
He negotiated a great contract.
Hey.
CNN virus owned.
The Wuhanese biological warfare unit gets bonuses. Okay.
Well, they don't have enough research on that, but it does seem like your theory was correct. It did come from
yes. I think I said it too.
I know. I just can't say it because I get sued.
Well, that's true.
And then he.
You know what was awesome is I just whispered it to Gerald while he was asleep. and then he's
Inception.
Not saying
it's like Inception. Yeah, yeah, you exactly. planted it.
Christopher Nolan back again.
Yes, exactly. Now, let's be clear here. Governor Cuomo, as much as I can't stand his brother, I'm still love to have a cage match with him. He's actually been getting along pretty well with Donald Trump, just like Gavin Newsom, where they've both been praising each other, aside from the barbell nipples. But come on, these are mundane details.
You can't stop
barbell nipples are not a mundane detail, Michael. But the New York City mayor, and it's often easy to forget because Giuliani was great, and then you had Bloomberg, who was hysterical, and then you have De Blasio, who's just an ass bag.
Yeah.
So a lot of people really forget that he's the mayor of New York City. He's done the opposite of Cuomo. He has tried to pin all of this on Donald Trump. And I understand that everyone needs to, there does need to be some blame somewhere. The buck needs to stop somewhere, right. So we know how to fix it moving forward. But he's even gone so far as to insinuate that Donald Trump has killed people. Here you go.
Chuck, the president of the United States is from New York City, and he will not lift a finger to help his hometown. And I don't get it. Chuck, I can't be blunt enough. If the president doesn't
In
act,
fact, I'm
people
Bill
will
DeBlunt
die
enough.
Right. Could have lived otherwise.
Can you, what is you can be dishonest enough.
Who are members of families.
Chuck.
Right. And we can't get action from the president of the United States.
By the way, does anyone else just love that Chuck Todd uses as an excuse to grow a shitty beard? We can't get haircuts. Look, you never heard of Norelco, you punk?
Yeah, exactly. You still have a trimmer. Go right. for it. Yeah,
they don't let him have scissors.
not let him have scissors.
No, he is mentally impaired.
Put him down.
Okay, so let's go through the timeline here because I do think that this matters. Keep in mind, Donald Trump restricted travel right from China, travel ban, whatever you want to call it, January 31st. Okay? Of course, it didn't really take long for New York progressives to spin it as racist, and then you had city officials telling people to attend the Chinese Lunar Parade.
Oh, my gosh.
And smart.
It actually gets a lot worse there. She actually tweets right after that when she said, hey, guys, go out and attend this Lunar Parade. She's like, live your lives as usual. Don't discriminate. That was a quote. Don't discriminate by not going to Chinatown.
You're talking about Nancy Pelosi?
No. The lady in that first tweet.
Oh, yeah.
She was
the lady
one of the
in that
health,
first tweet.
Health officials in New York City saying, go out there. Don't discriminate by not going to Chinatown was what she was saying.
Yeah.
Right after.
I discriminate by not going to Chinatown every day of my life.
Well, you should, but it's not discrimination not to go to a place that could have people that just came from a country that has an outbreak of a virus. That's not discrimination.
Well, I don't go just because primarily I don't like it. And
sends me instead.
The lack of refrigeration.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
That's a big one
hot?
For me.
It's really hot.
What am I going to store my tilapia in barrels of salt?
Yeah. No.
It's tradition.
Who am I, Cartier? So anyway, de Blasio, not only this, you see those tweets, de Blasio himself encouraged people to eat in Chinatown in late February, and then you have Pelosi even stopped by to promote, but let's be honest, you don't just stop by in Chinatown. Yeah. They decided to stage a photo op after the travel ban in Chinatown to gather and eat in public, in case you think I'm lying.
Should not stop you from going about your life, should not stop you from going to Chinatown and going out to eat. I'm going to do that today myself.
Come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
Wow.
Sentences.
Three things.
Did anyone else know they were all 6 inches from each other right there?
Yeah.
Hey, but if it's for purposes of a photo op, it's fine.
I have done this show. Seldom am I at a loss for words.
Yeah, it's as bad as it.
I feel like Chris Hansen when he showed up and that pedophile was naked at McDonald's for the second time from the chat room. I was just trying to get something to eat. What? And he just looks at me and goes, what? He walks off. Yeah. He knows he's getting arrested.
He's like, I know the cops are on the other side of the door.
They were encouraging people to eat in Chinatown. Eat in. Yeah. Chinatown.
Let that sink in.
Eat in Chinatown. That's enough. Without the virus, eat in Chinatown. Let's keep this in mind here. Most Chinese Americans don't want to eat in Chinatown. You're safe. Come on down. So this is what really matters to me, too, is you can go back and say that, sure, Donald Trump could have taken actions earlier in some specific instances. Understood. Certainly not a perfect handling. But... eat in Chinatown long after the travel ban. You can go back and say, well, they didn't get the supplies. You obviously weren't worried. You were telling everyone that they should just go about their merry way, that it's no worse than the flu, and that they should all take the opportunity to eat.
in Chinatown.
With the Chinatown Restaurateurs Association was like, Pelosi, here's some money.
Right. All right. It's like Nancy right. Eaton Chinatown Pelosi. That should be her
here's
name.
Billy Joel
on,
can't
right?
write a song about that. Scenes from a Chinatown restaurant?
No,
it would be horrific.
No,
it'd be
no.
NC-17 Billy Joel B-sides, and no one wants that. So then a few days later, after encouraging people to eat in Chinatown, first case occurred and the spread began in Manhattan. What? So let's keep that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. We should have learned from history a little bit here, right? So they take everybody go to this Lunar New Year thing, which is just teaming with people. The same thing happened.
It's also silly.
It is
yes.
very well, I understand hey. That. But they get to do it, it's fine, it's a big deal. But the same thing happened in Philadelphia. It's a big deal for them.
I'm sorry. Even for me, that was too much. That was very disparaging. I stepped into that door knowing, like, there's a little bit of racism here.
Yeah, he just
wandering
that door
around the
it's
gondola.
It's a big deal for them. It's not a real New Year, but it's ours. Okay, okay. Whatever. Right. Anyway, no, look, that should have been a lesson they learned. Like, you don't call people in the midst of a pandemic. You don't call people into mass gatherings on the street. That's right. What happened in Philadelphia with the Liberty Parade, and that's when the virus exploded. They should have known to cancel that.
Yeah.
It was an easy call.
It's also why the Liberty Bell is cracked.
Well, it was a Liberty Bond
no.
parade.
No,
so they were
no,
trying
no.
to sell bonds.
No, I'm pretty sure there was a Chinatown in Philly,
oh.
and someone ate it and then uncontrollably vomited on the
on
Liberty
Bell. And it,
I do know that it was transported using sorbethane, which is an anti-vibration technology that we use underneath this microphone. Listen to this.
Well, it didn't work. Because it's cracked.
That's really not that bad. No, they transported it to
could
preserve the crack
know,
after the crack. Because they wanted to keep the same crack.
Yeah.
They didn't want the crack to yeah. extend.
They wanted it to
tested positive
yeah. for crack.
For crack. I felt like I was drowning a little bit.
No, just no.
A little.
No,
that now someone tossed me the floaties.
You, got it.
You know what I'm talking
really
about.
Nice. You got
so,
it
and here's something else, too. After the first case... this feels so much better after yesterday morning. It really does. I feel like I'm banging
oh
all
there you go.
There are yeah. people in here. I can just,
boy.
You know, I got the eating Chinatown bit.
Yeah.
I can say it whenever I want.
You can dine out on that for a while.
And the funny thing is, I didn't even have to write a joke.
No, you can't, because Jared said
it's just shitty advice from Nancy Pelosi that I can repeat.
Oh,
and it's a material.
Well, hey. And de Blasio, don't take him out of the equation. He said
you're
the
good,
same thing.
Good call. I don't want to take him out of the equation. I want him back in the equation.
Yes.
So let's bring him back. On March 2nd, while we're talking about timelines here, de Blasio tweeted, I want to make sure I get this right. Since I'm encouraging New Yorkers, March 2nd, to go on with your lives, plus, the symbol plus, I assume he ran out of characters,
was
plus get out on the town despite coronavirus, I thought I would offer some suggestions beyond eating in Chinatown.
Right.
Here's the first through Thursday. Is this? I'm trying
March
to see.
5th.
March 5th.
Yeah.
Okay, it's March 5th. I couldn't. Yeah, March 5th to go see The Traitor at Film Inc. I don't even know what that is.
What,
if
yeah.
The Wire was a true story, plus symbol again, set in Italy, it would
saving
be this
time.
Film. Okay, wow. The first thing is it's nonsensical.
Yeah.
That's a horrible
that's
tweet.
A long,
that's an anti-plug.
On, yeah.
Do you want to? You know what, de Blasio? Look at what I just did for Quick Trip. Okay?
Go to school on
you
that.
You did the opposite of that.
Yeah.
If I were as bad at espousing my love for Quick Trip, everyone would go to racetrack.
You don't want that.
And I don't want that because I love Quick Trip.
Yeah, the people who made the movie were like, okay, so the mayor of New York did tweet
right.
our movie, but also he's an idiot.
Yeah.
So we have
so. Also, now everyone thinks that we're broadcasting in Chinatown and we're terrorists.
Only yeah. Chinatown.
Our mayor is the worst. Broken windows theory. Going. How about retarded mayor theory? Is that when does that come in? I believe it has some. I believe it was
Malcolm Gladwell's writing a book about
I
it.
I think
right
it was
now,
mentioned
so.
By Hayek somewhere. So,
yeah.
And of all the things, by the way, keep in mind, a movie theater is the worst place to go to outside of being in Chinatown.
Well,
it almost, but it almost seems
second
like that,
worst.
It almost seems like that goes without saying.
Right.
Unfortunately, that it was exactly said.
Yeah.
So it almost goes without saying, it's like the worst place to go during a pandemic with a virus that stems from China outside of eating in Chinatown. And people are like, you wasted some syllables there.
Yeah, didn't have to say that. Could have spelled out plus.
We got it. But no, I have to say it. Don't eat in Chinatown, in case the message hasn't been clear. Theaters, movie theaters, are the worst place to go to because you cannot manage distance at all.
Yeah.
Or 7-Eleven right bathrooms.
7-Eleven bathrooms, but that's
same.
Always, even without pandemics.
Right, that's natural occurring.
That's enough. Yeah.
Their all plumbing times. Is less efficient than the Romans.
History dig.
Got him, Romans.
Thursday night history.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it.
It's good.
A little aqueduct yourself.
It's about time.
But let's go through the timeline, because I always go through the timeline trying to make it seem like Donald Trump did nothing in de Blasio. March 8th, that's after March 2nd. So you'd think March 8th, did he improve?
You'd think.
No. In case you didn't know the arc of this segment, where it's going, he said that. And here's something that, you know, I'm not a epidemiologist. Epidemiologist. See, that's pretending to be stupid.
Almost correct.
So I'm not an epidemiologist.
Yeah. This
but even then, when a virus spreads, when there's like a virus out and we don't know a whole lot about it, I would say, well, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure that since a lot of people are getting it, like, you know, it could be transmitted through contact, or you should clean surfaces.
You have to hedge just a little.
Right. You don't need to be a doctor to understand that.
Right.
Well, the thing is, de Blasio is not a doctor. And he also doesn't understand that, because he said that COVID disappears from surfaces in minutes, like it was a ShamWow commercial, and that it couldn't be transmitted through casual contact. Watch.
You need to really have some direct contact. You need to have the kind of exposure that you wouldn't get casually on the subway, for example.
This is a disease that does not live long on a surface, certainly on most surfaces like metal. Plastic, a desk, a kitchen counter, a subway pole. It's only a matter of minutes before the disease dies.
And the interpreter, I don't know if you saw, he was saying, this asshole. Followed by toxicity of our city.
He was so like emotive when he was doing this thing.
De Blasio was like, all right, are you done? No! Writing on the wall, this order! All right, stop it. Wake up! Why don't you pull it out of the makeup? What? I'm riding it. I'm milking this for all it's worth. I'm not going to be here in a year.
I think Bill's in pain.
Oh, my God.
Didn't he? A little bit?
Yeah, he did.
It's for real. Yeah, for sure.
And I usually try not to take aim at that singer from System of a Down, because he's been through enough with Cenk denying... So
the thing in the place.
To clarify, because this is a silly show, but let's get serious for a second and only 1 second. Coronavirus does remain on surfaces for a very long time. As a matter of fact. Yeah, it's really bad. It's a bad thing.
Well, that's different than minutes.
Almost held it together.
I think the worst is, if I'm not mistaken, is like cardboard. It can be on cardboard for 48 hours.
Plastic, I believe, is 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
It's much plastic was much longer on the chart that I saw.
Right.
I'm sure.
It'll stay for weeks and weeks inside of a vacuum-sealed vial that I carry in my...
Wow. So you... All right.
It'll stay sealed in the envelopes that I mail to the mayor's office.
Right.
Joke.
It's totally a joke.
Of course not. Want nature to run its course and de Blasio to have a slow deterioration so that 5 years from now we can see him on the Biden train. That's what would be best for America.
Not stringing sentences together to save their life.
We can heal over his early onset dementia. I'm a horrible human being. So,
that is terrible.
Not only can it be transmitted by casual contact. By the way, you're not doing a whole lot for helping the negative stereotype that Chinese people are sadists.
No, can I just
you're laughing too hard at my murder joke.
Hold on. Let me just say something. Look, I've seen folks who are out there and they're talking about, there's anger at Asian Americans and people are, look, racists are going to racist. They were going to racist before Corona.
Right.
If they're doing racist stuff now, it's just coming out. That's fine. I want to see you and call you out for who you are.
Right.
But. Yeah. No one is actually doing it in real life.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's why I've tried to make it a really important point to delineate between the Chinese government and the Chinese people.
Right.
Because I will tell you this. This was just – we did this yesterday, actually, and I only realized it that night. You guys saw when we were talking about it. Yeah. ABC News was breaking while we were doing Good Morning Mug Club. You can go back and watch it. And a Chinese representative responded to the United States defunding WHO. And I think we brought up a source from ABC News. And then after at night, I was tired. I said, wait, hold on a second. Did I just read a quote on air from that Li Jian Zhao guy, the guy who actually created and spread the conspiracy theory that American troops created coronavirus? Then I searched it on New York Times, Washington Post, Bloomberg. All of them quoted a Chinese propagandist.
Yeah. Oh my God.
To try and express disappointment with Donald Trump. So when I say, hey, I think the media are actually commie sympathizers, that's not hyperbolic. I mean it. It is absolutely insane. And I will say, the more that I see this, when I see, you see the voices echoed of the worst Chinese people in the world, because it's always foreign ministers, people who work for the government. So I will say this, guys, you do need to guard your heart, because I have, when I read, I'm like, these sons of bitches. And then I realize, but not Chinese people, but the Chinese government. Yeah. You do need to make it very clear that there is no one who is targeted and marginalized and oppressed and, frankly, violently actually, like, you can talk about assaulted, murdered by the Chinese government and the Chinese citizens. So it's easy to hate the Chinese government. Do not apply that to people like my wonderful half Asian lawyer here.
Yeah, don't.
Couldn't afford a Jew.
No,
someday.
Not at all.
Can I do? I didn't have to say though. You know, like everyone in the Chinese government is Chinese. So just you know, whatever.
Yeah, but everyone in San Francisco is American.
Yeah, they are.
That wouldn't stop me from a little biochemical surprise.
It is. They're doing it to themselves.
They're pooping on the streets already.
The way
Steven.
The Chinese government and to see now. Months into this, that people are finally going, I think we should take those statistics with a grain of salt. Even just a month ago when they were saying we should believe China.
Yeah.
China is correct. They've always had a history of honesty and forthrightness. Amazing.
And what's crazy to me is they will quote a Chinese propagandist, this Li Jian Zhao. Well, actually, we might need to call some journalists, actually, this week and call them and see if they knew that
There's
they were quoting
idea.
A Chinese propagandist. Because Alex Jones got banned, deplatformed for less.
Right.
About, and I don't agree with Alex Jones, a lot of the conspiracies. I obviously don't. The false flag stuff, no, I don't agree. But none of that is as severe as blaming the American military for creating the coronavirus as a weapon, I think in November is what he said. That's every bit as bad and worse. Plus, there is the little facet, a little bit of context that you should be Team America if you work for the American media.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to me, the double standard here. And it's immensely disturbing. Let's go back though here. I want to be clear, provide you with some information. Of course, coronavirus can be transmitted just through casual contact. Yeah. We had Dr. Choi, my Korean doctor, on the show, I believe, 2 or 3 weeks ago to talk about it. And he did have this to say.
It is by contact. Like if we shake the hands of another person who has a virus, or if we actually touch the surfaces soon after somebody who has a virus touches a surface, and then we touch our face with it.
Right.
Because it enters through our eyes, our nose, our mouth. So it's a respiratory virus. But we can also get it. It can be airborne. It's typically not, it can be airborne or droplet. So if somebody coughs at us, and then we can actually inhale that, and we can get the virus infection.
By the way, he's also a part-time signer.
Oh, wow.
Virus go in at head, shoulders, knees, and toes. eyes, ears, mouth, and nose. I love Dr. Choi, by the way. He's going to be on soon. He's the best
like
doctor I've
guy.
Ever had. He cares so much. And I will say this. Yeah. He has given me advice off air that he can't say on air because he doesn't want to be sued. He's going, hey, listen, these are some things that might help your immune system, prevent an overreaction. Right? He is a doctor who's willing to talk with you and not just worry about liability. Saying this isn't necessarily proven.
That's helpful,
but these supplements might be a good idea. I've never had a doctor do that before. So
that's cool. Amazing.
Good
stuff.
To have on your team.
Yeah. Good on you, Bill.
Yeah, well, we're talking about all the crap that the Chinese government does. He's not Chinese. He's Korean, so, you know.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
He does a lot of good stuff.
People.
He really is a fantastic doctor. By the way, hit the notification bell. We have Ben Shapiro coming up in a minute. Hit all notifications because subscriptions don't necessarily mean a whole lot. There's also Crowder Bits now where you can watch some segments.
Yes.
And, of course, do consider joining Mug Club because that's all we have. that's it. I don't have anything else to say. It's very sad when I think about it. If you don't join up,
promo code.
We're dead. Oh, promo code quarantine. That's right, $30.
Yeah,
thank you for helping me, fisherman's friend.
Good
essay. and new content every day at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Eastern every day, in case you can't be bothered to do any of those things. Here's something that I wanted to, while we're talking about Donald Trump, I don't resent you, but the fact that I have to plug all that and at the end of it say, just 8 o'clock.
That's all.
If that's all we get out of you.
A part of me wants to say, earn this.
But he won't say it.
I won't say it. I am very tired and I'm mad at everything because we're still dealing with coronavirus. And I will say, again, I went back to the Quick Trip thing. There is something remarkable going on right now. Every person I've spoken to in real life, every single one, thinks that this is an overreaction. I was a Quick Trip. There was, I think she was like half Latina, a girl in there. There was a young black gentleman in there. Certainly, I wouldn't imagine Trump's base is my point.
Right.
And I went in with a mask, and they looked at me like this. And went, they did that. And I was like, what? What? We're all supposed to be, did you not get the memo? And they're like, oh yeah, we're all supposed to wear a mask. I said, well, hold on a second. Has anyone here gotten sick? Like, meaning all of Quick Trip? And they said, not only not here, I don't think anyone in the franchise.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like, what? Like, and the black guy said, it comes down to basic hygiene. Wash your hands and don't touch your nose.
Simple. That's very true.
And these people, though, when you think about in the media, the reaction to just saying, hey, you know what? We do think that we need to balance the idea of reopening the economy, understanding the risk, making an assessment, and allowing Americans the ability to make a living. If anyone says that, it's like you're a denier. It's like you're a Holocaust denier.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of Americans, and I don't even think it's represented in polling, because I think people are afraid to even tell someone in a poll that we should reopen the economy. Everyone I talk with, including many police officers, go, yeah, this is really around the bend.
Well, I mean, we've gotten to the point where finally people feel comfortable saying that initially, and still some people that I know that are close friends feel like I have to do my part. Like, there's very much this propaganda. There's an enemy. We have to be afraid. And if your neighbor's not doing their part, they're extending your pain and suffering, so report them. Like, it's finally people are going, well, wait a minute. I don't think that's actually true.
Yeah. So yeah, don't I'm be. Glad. Here's the thing. Do your research. Don't be shamed into panicking.
No.
Let's look at the difference, though, between President Trump and Mayor de Blasio. Again, he's the mayor of New York City. It's easy to forget. So the media, they said that Trump downplayed this whole thing. When, let's be honest, lately, he's really just been trying to give Americans hope. He's been saying, hey, we might be past the peak right now. There are things that we're doing. There are treatments that might be working. We're on the road toward a vaccine, right? Hey, maybe we'll be open by Easter, he said. He didn't open everything by Easter.
No.
Let's be really clear. Now, let's contrast that with de Blasio, who was telling people to get out there and attend public gatherings along with eating in Chinatown.
Delicious.
This entire time. So compare, hopefully it would be a beautiful timeline if we could be open on Easter. People are like, can you believe this guy? And the other guy's eating, you know, rat on a stick. This is delicious down here in Chinatown. Chin Chate, Mayor of New York.
I don't think it quite works. But I don't understand why people get mad at the president for saying, hey, I'm hopeful that we can do something like this. The local government is the one who's going to have to make the decision on whether they reopen a city or a part of town or not during a pandemic or a crisis like this. So in New
York,
you
don't understand because you're not a communist.
I know, that's true. But in New York,
I have
a
real blind spot.
Seriously, like they just throw it up the ladder. Like, what does he blame Cuomo? And then Cuomo's like, well, hell, I couldn't do anything. Here, let's blame Trump. We have to blame the next rung up. I don't think that's how it works. But in New York City, as the mayor of a city that is incredibly large and densely populated, you know better. You have to know better early.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have to know it in Schenectady, right? But you do in New York City.
Hey, that's the city I make fun of. Oh. So
it sounds like a funny name. I don't know.
Fun to say, horrible to live in. It's where dreams go to die.
Well, they do.
The Amtrak doesn't even stop in Schenectady anymore. I think it just goes straight to Poughkeepsie.
Right.
They say, everyone wave to Schenectady.
They toss you off.
Let a tear just roll down your cheek because people have to live with that all year. The novelty's nice for you and the Joe Biden Express, they live there. It's like when my wife, at six years old, her dad took her to Tijuana so she would appreciate what Americans have. That's what we should do with Schenectady. Oh. So this really matters because it also, not only does it show the blame game is just totally playing politics, whereas people say, we don't have time for politics, like Governor Whitmer from Michigan. I don't have time for politics. And she puts on that hat that says, that lady from Michigan, you don't have time for politics. Just time to audition for Joe Biden's vice presidential candidate.
Please.
So that hopefully, you know, people don't think he's actually retarded. They're not going to buy it, by the way.
Too late.
So this matters because you need to contrast the reaction time, but also a fundamental misunderstanding, misinterpretation of the role of government, and this directly relates to the Constitution. So let me explain this really quickly. Yes, we know that they all hate Donald Trump, the media, when we're talking about the media right now, and I'm not his biggest fan. But I think the pettiness, the childishness, this is karma. If karma were a thing,
so good.
This is what they deserve. But again, they freaked out in misrepresenting him saying that his authority in allowing states to reopen their own economies is absolute.
As John King was just saying, he's claiming that he has authorities that he doesn't have. The Constitution does not give the President of the United States total authority.
David, is the President's power total in this?
Clearly it's not total.
Yeah, let's get our advice from a three split view with Axelrod and the Octomom.
Yeah.
He's a voice that's needed, Steve.
So that, can you believe this? He's a dictator, authoritarian, and he's saying that his authority in allowing states to reopen is absolute. Now let's compare this to, after all the downplaying, after all of it, it's not an emergency, go eat in Chinatown. Yeah. New York City shut everything down after all of this, and de Blasio claimed that he has the power, the absolute power, to permanently shut down any church or synagogue that disobeys his orders.
Everyone has been instructed that if they see worship services going on, they will go to the officials of that congregation. They'll inform them they need to stop the services and disperse. If that does not happen, they will take additional action up to the point of fines and potentially closing the building permanently.
Closing the building permanently.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, I think he's heard of religious liberty, right?
I don't.
Maybe not. Well, I think.
And he's like a hype man. That was like Armenian comedy jam.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they tell us, you know, stay 6 feet apart. And we saw the thing in Kentucky where they were in their car. And there's a golf course. And this is so stupid. Right by where I live that pulled. It's a public place. You don't have to touch or talk to anyone to play on it. They pulled the pins and put signs up says closed.
Yeah.
Like walking through a park would have been safe.
Before we move into that, too, keep in mind, too, that de Blasio is – this is the guy who's concerned that a Christian group might be helping and that they may not be allowed to because they're anti-gay and Islamophobic. By the way, did he mention anything about Islamic places of worship being shut down permanently?
That's funny.
Just the Jews, right? Yeah. Just the Christians and the Jews?
Christians
odd
and
that
Jews
he chose to mention Christians and Jews. Anti-Semitic much? I don't know. And that goes over very well in the Upper West Side. This is remarkable to me for a few reasons. Yeah, the park thing. There was a guy who got fined for kissing his wife in a park.
Oh, yeah.
It's like people you realize I'm going to go have sex with her right after this, right?
Yeah.
She's my wife.
If it's going to happen.
It's ridiculous. Do they actually think that we're social distancing at home?
No.
Yeah. I've been trying.
Because let me tell you.
I keep putting my kid in a different room. My wife's like, you might drown. Social distance.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
the government told me,
though. Not sexually with your wife. We're not trying to do it. No, because listen, even I don't care what the virus is. You could bring back SARS-1. I gets mine, Larry. So I can't believe that they find someone in a public park. But this is, this to me shows a fundamental incapability of understanding the role of government. Okay, I think Donald Trump was wrong in saying he has absolute authority. Now, I think in context, it's not nearly as severe as people make it out to be. And if you look at his actions, they've actually been pretty measured. Don't take my word for it. Take Cuomo. Take Newsom's word for it, right? He didn't open things at Easter. He was hoping that we could open things for Easter. He hasn't reopened the entire economy now. He's hoping that we can. He hasn't signed some kind of an executive order. What he's saying is that he can end effectively a national ban on commerce that is happening and allow states to reopen. He has absolute authority to defer it to the states. That is important. Compare that with de Blasio, who is there on camera expressly communicating a violation of the First Amendment, saying that he will shut down churches permanently after you just said go down and eat in Chinatown. So churches are going, well, I guess it isn't that big a deal.
It's
we can go
okay,
and socially
right?
distance. Yeah. It's not as bad as Chinatown. He is saying that he would shut down churches permanently. Let me be really clear. Separation of church and state is a term that's thrown around. It's not actually a real thing. It's not an actual real wording. It's written from Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist, taken out of context. But when you look at the First Amendment, the spirit of it is very important because it's about keeping the government out of the church running business.
Right.
Why?
Yeah.
Precisely to preserve the church, because they believe that for a moral for a free society, you had to have a moral society.
Yeah.
So they saw the importance of the church and did not want to have a Church of England.
Right.
That's why it exists. And here you have a mayor not saying he has the absolute authority to defer to states in reopening their economies as they see fit, but you have a mayor of the biggest city in the country saying, hey, I am going to use my church to step into the church running or synagogue business and shut them down permanently if they don't take my granted conflicting advice. That is absolutely authoritarian. That is absolutely a violation of the spirit of the Constitution and basic American rights. And it's actually a violation of the letter of the Constitution and basic American rights. So if we want to play the game and try and go back and forth with semantics, no. You're the party of the guy who said, eat in Chinatown, and then the next week said, I will shut down churches permanently unless you follow my every order. You have no leg to stand on. It's done. We're not listening to you. Let's look at the pluses and minuses and get back to starting this economy. All right, let's have Ben Shapiro on after this. See what he thinks about the synagogues.
I know. Terrible.
Okay, made it.
Excellent. Now all you have to do is access that fascist computer mainframe.
This will be too easy. Smash the
Oh, my non-conforming, genderless, non-binary, two-spirited god.
What's happening? Did they find you?
No. They have no search history.
Abort! Abort! River Moon, get out of there!
At least what you do online is your business. Protect your business. ExpressVPN.
Be sure to protect yourself with, must have picked the wrong sponsor, ExpressVPN. That's the one that I use. I don't even know what I pulled out to physically symbolize ExpressVPN. If you are looking to use a VPN, and you absolutely should if you use a computer, we use ExpressVPN here at Ladder with Crowder. And you know that we have. You've seen us use them long before they were a sponsor with the Tulsi Gabbard scenario, with YouTube, and more recently with the Rhett and Link odd comments hiding. Can we call it a pandemic? I don't know. It works well. And here's the thing. ExpressVPN is the only VPN of their size that I know who didn't have a security breach and not tell the customers about it for a year. So use them, support them. They have the balls to support the show. ExpressVPN.com/Crowder, and you get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's ExpressVPN.com/Crowder, and it actually is what we use. And Chi-Coms don't like it.
Tonight on CBS.
You're watching a very special social distancing edition of The Late Show, or as I now call it, The Lather Show with Scrub and Colbert.
Stephen debuts some hilarious new sketches.
I mean, just close your mouth. You eat like a barn animal.
And great new guests.
Watching stuff on Hulu, it's crazy, you know.
That doesn't even make sense.
Red Skull here needs some crackers.
It's, I mean, punch me in the...
What's up?
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
What are you talking about, man?
6 feet of social distancing.
What the heck, man? I ain't do nothing, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Watch this and more at our other channel, Crowder Bits.
And now listen to this.
That song reminds me. It sounds like a gallop. You know that?
Yeah, the little beat thing.
Yeah. Pleasant.
And I started after Jean-Guy doing the live streaming playing Red Dead Redemption 2 because I really liked Red Dead Revolver on Xbox. Mm-hmm. And I've come to the realization that I'm just done trying to pretend like I'm even interested in video games. There's so much, like, it's so much work. It's like, hold the left trigger to talk to this guy where he's going to tell you about how he lost his daughter
in
the wildfires. And then hit this button to get the horse and tie up the horses. But you have to eat a packet. But don't smoke a cigarette because it'll enhance your health, but it'll decrease your stamina. It's like, if I put this much work
riddled with ADD
into work.
Yeah.
I get a lot,
get a lot of stuff.
I could get a lot of stuff done. Almost like a show. Hey, you know who has a show is our next guest.
Oh, that was good.
Only a 58-second segue there.
Right there.
And the good thing is the segue wasn't even necessary because we came back from a break.
That's true, but it was well done.
I just want to keep him waiting so that, you know, it's asserting dominance, like the body language experts say. He has a show. You know him. You love him. He's a favorite of the show. The Ben Shapiro Show, editor-in-chief of Daily Wire. You can follow him at Ben Shapiro. And just to be clear, Lord, this is pre-taped because it is Passover.
Yes.
And Ben, I wanted to make sure that I clarified so you don't get in trouble with the Lord.
Well, it's not really with the Lord. I think God knows. It's all of the people who are the not good Jews watching your show who will then email me and pretend they are good Jews because I'm on your show.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So
like that's the way that would have to work. I get tons of emails every time I do a pre-recorded podcast and then it appears sometime on a Jewish holiday. People will be like, oh, so finally you've shown your true colors. And it's like, well, you were listening, weren't you?
Yes, exactly.
So.
Yes. And I'm sorry for Nicodemus's incessant emails. They seem very unnecessary. He's a pious prick. But I do know that obviously Passover is so pre-taped for people who don't necessarily know. Ben Shapiro, how are you doing right now with the quarantine? I mean, you're still doing your show, a lot of content.
Yeah, a lot of content happening. I have three kids under the age of 7, including a newborn, and we are locked in the home, and my kids don't have school. And so I'm on the edge, my friend. I mean, I'll tell you, like, listen, I'm a lot luckier than a lot of other people. I still have a job. We still have a business. People are still working here. And so I don't want to make it sound as though I am in the bottom quadrant of sufferers. I am not. I'm in the top quadrant of sufferers. But with that said, small children, no place to go. Our ridiculous mayor has shut down every park in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, everybody's going a little bit nuts. My kids have basically turned this thing into Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
They're running around and they're holding up pigs' heads on spears and stuff. And it's wild. I mean, all of your restrictions on media and how much TV they can watch a day have gone completely out the window.
Oh, gosh.
Basically, TV is now the third parent. Because that's just the way.
Well, you shouldn't have sat them in front of Lord of the Flies if that wasn't your goal.
Yeah, that's fair. I probably I should definitely have some different viewing.
Yeah, throw some baby Einstein on there. Once you've seen them use Piggy's glasses to build a fire, you've pretty much seen. So the one thing I've just learned there is Ben must really, really can't stand his kids.
That's what we've learned.
Dude, I mean, kids are mediocre in the best of times. And then you're locked in the house with them for long periods of time, and they start to lose their minds. Like, you have to understand that everything that you and I feel as adults is magnified in small children.
Right.
So, like, if you lock me in a house with a person I love, you lock me in a house with my wife for, like, a month on end, we're going to start to get, you know, a little bit crotchety. We're going to start to be, like, a little mad with each other and a little bit abrasive. And you do that with, like, a three-year-old child, and within 7 minutes, they're tearing things off the walls. They're trying to beat you to death with a toy hammer. Like, there is no wall.
Just to be clear, pre-quarantine, was Ben Shapiro not abrasive, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I mean, you've never experienced abrasion like this abrasion.
But you know what the funny thing? My wife and I, we had kind of a breakthrough a little, not long ago, but we always love spending, we're both quality time people. That's our love language. Right. But we don't have to be talking or doing everything together. And so we can be in the same room. I can be watching a movie. She can be reading her book about polygamy or some recent, like, North Korean camp. She's really into all, like, true crime podcast. She's like, it's okay if half the time we live like we're single, so long as we don't cheat.
I mean,
it's
reasonable.
You will see, like, when you have lots of kids, the problem becomes that time does not exist. Like, it just doesn't exist anymore. So the kids wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and then they go to bed at, like, 8 o'clock at night. And then you look at your wife and you're like, I am just dead tired. I can't do anything. My brain is not functioning at this point. Mm-hmm. And then we have the newborn. So the newborn's up in the middle of the night. So basically, I've seen my wife, like, we've been home with each other and pretty much nobody else for a month. And I've seen my wife for a combined total of 72 seconds. I mean, when we're not.
It's odd that you've been keeping track like that. Let me ask
you. I want to make sure I'm meticulous about this thing.
Yes, like, yes, exactly. Sweetheart, 72 seconds. That's not enough for a man to feel fulfilled. Signal. All right, so.
Yeah, it depends. I don't know where you come from, Crowder.
You know exactly where I come from because you were at my house while I was waterboarded, and my wife came in and served you a beverage while I was being waterboarded by Special Forces. That's, she that's couldn't true. Be less surprised that or concerned.
Those times when we used to actually be, like, within breathable distance of other human beings. And
right.
It is amazing to watch TV shows and films now, and you just are seeing people, like, eat at a restaurant. You're like, oh, good times.
Right.
Good times.
Like, oh, Bennigan's. To be at Bennigan's. I wanted to. So you wrote an article, obviously, at Daily Wire, talking about kind of some questions, key questions that need to be answered before we reopen the economy. And I think one of your questions was, we need to determine the accurate fatality rate. I want to first get to what your questions are, what you think are the most necessary questions. Sure. And then I will say this. I don't know if we have a disagreement. I think that the overall deaths per capita are really the only reliable metric at this point because the fatality rate is so dictated by infection rates and accuracy of testing and them not lying in China.
So I think that is true, but I think the problem is that number only goes up. What I mean is that if you're looking at the fatality rate, if you're looking at the number of fatalities per million, then all that's going to happen is that the presumption is that when we all go out of quarantine, if we infect each other and tons of people die, well, then that number is going to go up. So that does not give you a good indicator of exactly where the number is going to go, whereas the case fatality rate theoretically should give you an idea of how far things are going to go given a certain number being infected, right? The only two statistics that really matter are the ones that we have no numbers on. One is the transmission rate. We assume that it's somewhere between 2.5 and 5.
Right.
And the other one is the case fatality rate, and we have no clue there because we don't know what the denominator is, because we know that tons and tons of people are asymptomatic. There was a New England Journal of Medicine piece that just came out, would have been when people watched this yesterday, that looked at a number of pregnant women who were brought into New York City hospitals all of whom were screened for COVID, because when you come in, they screen you for COVID, apparently. It was like 211 women, 29 of them tested positive for COVID. Only four were symptomatic, which suggests that for everybody who is symptomatic, there are at least seven people who are asymptomatic. If you actually applied that statewide to New York State right now, New York State has a 5% case fatality rate. It's something like 10,000 dead people and 195,000 positive tests. Well, take that bottom number, that 195,000, multiply it by 7.25, and now it's looking a lot more like 1.4 million.
Right.
So your actual case fatality rate is 0.7%, which is significantly higher than
the 0.85%. Well, I see what you're saying in that the number, the case fatality rate will go down because as testing is more accurate, it'll be a smaller portion of the overall infection rates.
And that makes a difference because if we all go out and infect each other, and then it makes that the kind of overall number of deaths that we expect a lot lower.
So, well, as far as overall numbers that we expect, what I am saying is I think the most accurate metric as far as what we should be using for people to sort of assess their risk, because a lot of this was, oh my gosh, we're seeing at one point they said a 10% mortality rate, then a 5%, then a 3%, and now like, well, we don't know the mortality rate, but they predicted 2.5 million deaths, then a minimum with social distancing, which wasn't supposed to have kicked in, 100,000 to 240,000, and then 60,000. The overall, and I think especially when comparing it across countries, the most accurate that we have is the per capita death rate. Here's why, because you eliminate more variables in the sense that, all right, you go to per capita, right? So that matters because you can't just go by a total rate. And then testing efficiency is very different, for example, let's say in Belgium and France, Spain or Italy, compared to the United States. And then overall, when you look at how many people per million residents or inhabitants of this country have died, it's the only one that we have that's a constant now. I know it'll only go up, but I don't think it's going to only go up for the United States. As a matter of fact, even as it goes up in the United States, the gap widens between places like Italy and Spain still.
Well, it depends, right? I mean, because the one thing that's not taking into account is the actual lockdown measures, right? So what we're watching, for example, right now in Sweden is Sweden's rate continues to go up. Will it surpass Switzerland? Probably not. Will it surpass Italy? Probably not. Also, when you adjust for population, it kind of gives you some weird outliers because some places have only 6 million people or 5 million people.
Right.
The United States has 330 million people, so your sample size.
Well, you can't count like Andorra, for example. Like, I don't use those.
Right, exactly.
Or Luxembourg.
Micronesia, right? I mean, there are certain places where one person dies and your actual death per million rate is like 50 because there's only 10 people in the country, right?
Right.
So that kind of makes it difficult.
But it is fair to compare France, Belgium, Italy, Spain, and the United States. I mean, those are all sizable enough countries. Obviously the United States is very different in that we're, by the way, also, let's be really clear.
But it's not taking into account that, again, the reason I'm not going along with this is just because I think it doesn't take into account the lag time, meaning that is France 2 weeks ahead of us? We don't know. Is Italy two weeks ahead of us? They shut down like a week in advance of us, maybe 2 weeks in advance of us. And so if you're looking at where the United States is going to be in 2 weeks, which is kind of what we're trying to figure out as to when we reopen, then you want to be looking at something more accurate, like an approximate
I'll push back. Go ahead.
The one that actually matters to me more than the case fatality rate is what the case fatality rate looks like for young, healthy people, right? Because I think this is where we're being completely snowed.
Not even that young, but yes.
Well, anybody under the age of 45, if you're under the age of 45 and you're healthy, your chances of dying from COVID are exorbitantly low, very, very, very low. And I'm looking like right now, this minute, at some of the New York City health data. The New York City health data, which has revealed the number of positive tests, the number of dead people, and the number of people who have died without pre-existing conditions. According to the New York City Health Department, there were 26 deaths total in New York City among people aged below 45 with no underlying conditions. That's out of over 6,000 deaths and out of over 42,500 diagnosed cases of COVID-19 for New Yorkers under that age, which means that your actual chances of dying in New York City, and this is, again, a high-end estimate because it's not taking into account all the people who have not been tested and all the people who are asymptomatic, even using the number of tests that have come back positive versus the number of people who have died under the age of 45 with no pre-existing conditions, you're looking at a case fatality rate of 0.06%, meaning that 994 out of every 1,000 New Yorkers under the age of 45 who are healthy will not die.
Right.
And that is probably a low-end estimate as the number of people who will live.
And
probably,
I think, and is that
more like 996 or 997?
Right. And the biggest and one thing that has, I don't want to say valuable because obviously this is a tragedy and we have to hedge all our words, but one thing that has been valuable with this data that we've seen, particularly from New York, is that the greatest determining factor with underlying conditions is diabetes and heart disease. Being obese is the single biggest contributing factor outside of age. So even if you're below the age, if we want to expand that, if you're below the age of 70 and you don't have diabetes or you're not obese, the fatality rate is still exceedingly low. So,
and the reason I say that matters is because a lot of the measures that you're being that are being talked about right now.
Right.
Let's mass test everybody. 3 million tests a day. Employers testing everybody. Heat checks when you go into a theater. We're gonna give you a temperature check, which, by the way, is so stupid because a lot of this is asymptomatic, right? It doesn't help to actually take
Especially when you take into account the antibody test, which isn't yielding the same kind of results as we did from just the COVID-19 testing positive itself. We are finding some
And we also don't even know the accuracy of the antibody test at this point. It might be only 95% accurate. So, you know, given all of those conditions and given the reality, which is this crap cannot last beyond mid-May. I mean, it just can't. People are going to go back to work. People are going to say, I've lost my job. I've lost my livelihood. I've lost my dreams. Like, I'm getting very tired of people doing sort of a one-factor test for how we get out of this, which is how many people are going to die. I don't know the answer. You don't know the answer. I know how many people have lost their jobs. I know how many people have lost their life savings.
Right.
I know how many people are now waiting at a food bank who never thought they would have to wait at a food bank because the government decided to shut everything down. I'm not saying the government was wrong to shut everything down. What I am saying is if you are young and you are healthy, we should be talking right now about how you go back to work, wear a mask, sure, so you don't infect other people, even if you have it. Go back to work, socially distance. We probably shouldn't go back to theaters. We probably shouldn't have football games right now. But go back to restaurants. Make sure that the tables are 6 feet apart. Mm-hmm. Basically, go Sweden. Yeah. Is what Sweden has done. And Sweden is not wrong to have done it. And everybody who's saying, well, Sweden spiked. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, also South Korea. A lot of people don't know this. Also South Korea. Of course, they doxed their own citizens as well. But they did quarantine the old and the most vulnerable. And I said this with my doctor, who is Korean, on this show before we went into total lockdown. I said, hey, I know this is going to sound crazy and insensitive. How about just quarantining old and sick people? And that's what they've done in some countries. And there isn't, as far as we know right now, again, there's a lot of data that hasn't come in. They haven't had worse outcomes. You do, because you can't just get every, you can't nerf the whole world. But you can get people who are older, you can get people who have pre-existing conditions to quarantine themselves, and the outcomes are likely better for them if the economy continues, because we all know the long-term health ramifications when people have no jobs, when employers can't go back to their businesses, and we can't continue to innovate or push forward an economy. Long-term, that is far worse for health. People don't understand. People are poor, they die, they get sick, they get fat, they get depressed, they commit suicide, there are more burglaries. That's a big thing.
I mean, that is a big thing. I think it is also worth noting that there are a couple of values that, you know, actually matter, and that when we talk, you know, just deaths versus deaths, that aren't taken into account. Like, how about living in a free country? How about living in relative prosperity? Like, these things used to matter, and in fact, do matter for a lot of people. Like, quality of life is still a thing that matters. Yeah, we can live, but it also matters how we live. I mean, it does matter to me. If you don't experience pain, seeing families waiting in a car at a food bank, and you say, well, you know, at least you're alive. Yes, at least you're alive. And also, those people would almost certainly be alive if they were out today in a mask at work and not at a food bank.
Right.
So, like, so you do have to battle, like, to pretend that there are not competing values here,
right,
and that we don't have to weigh all of those competing values when we make public policy is really, I think,
hold
a dirty
that thought.
Trick.
Usually this would go to the behind the paywall, but since it's free Mug Club Quarantine Month, this will be available right here on YouTube. But this is where you would see a commercial break, and then we would be right back with Ben at the Blaze. And go! And we're back. Hope you liked the Native American First Nations going, oh! Ben, yeah, I agree with you on all of that. I still would say the reason that I think the deaths per million, and by the way, of course, it's Ben Shapiro's show. You can download it everywhere podcasts are sold or not sold. He's the editor-in-chief of Daily Wire. The reason that the deaths per million matter is because we largely use the fatality rates for our projections. So I would say that it matters because they use the initial mortality rates as a portion of those tested to predict the 2.5 million, to predict the 100,000 to 240,000. And what I do think matters is that was taking into account social distancing, a minimum of 100 to 240,000. A lot of people miss that. They said, no, it's going to be 2.5 million. If the social distancing is in effect, and they said it would kick in after we already saw, obviously, a decreased rate of death to any degree. They said it'll be minimum 100 to 240,000. So they can change it to whatever they want, and I'm glad. I want that number as low as possible. But people, especially when we are talking about, listen, a balance of lives and livelihood, we do need to understand that none of the data or projections have been close to accurate. And I think that kind of goes back to what you've talked about quite a bit. And regardless of how people feel about Donald Trump, the media's vested interest in making people think a certain way. And anyone who disagrees with them, well, you just don't care about Americans and you're a pariah.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, I think that it's actually one of the better things that Trump has done. I think he's done a couple of things that are really good, aside from sort of generalized making sure that the government gets resources where they are supposed to go and activating and the China partial kind of flight shutdown and the European travel ban. Like, he's done a bunch of good things, but in terms of kind of overall rhetoric, so he's been criticized for a lot of his rhetoric. I've done a lot of that criticizing. I don't think that he's been particularly unifying. I think that him fulminating over his ratings is a complete waste of time when everybody is wondering, is mom going to die tomorrow by right. walking outside? Doesn't seem to me that, you know, him comparing his ratings to The Apprentice or to The Bachelorette is particularly
to
useful.
To be clear, by the way, anyone else, your mom is not going to die if she goes out tomorrow unless she's a 75-year-old diabetic with a dry cough. Continue.
But the couple of things that Trump has done right are he has resisted the calls for nationalization up until this week when he randomly declared himself emperor and initiated Order 66. Up until that point, he was pretty much on the right track there. And also, he really did resist the idea, again, of sort of centralized national power against the states. Right? Right. He was saying that the states are the ones responsible. And the media, who are just completely dishonest, they kept saying, okay, so when Andrew Cuomo doesn't shut down his state, and when Bill de Blasio doesn't shut down his city, it's Trump's fault. And then when Trump is like, okay, I'm going to make them do what I want, they're like, oh, he's a dictator now.
Yeah.
Okay,
and by the way, I want to be clear, when he says I have the authority, what he's talking about is, and yeah, sometimes he speaks where his brain moves faster than his mouth can catch up. What he was saying is, no, I do have the authority to allow states to reopen. Not all states will reopen. States have the right to remain closed. But if Donald Trump wants to sign an order that says, all right, Kentucky or Texas, if you guys want to start reducing the stay home, and I always forget, home, cover, shelter, whatever the hell it is. I always forget what shelter in place. That he does have that right to allow states to then make their decisions moving forward.
He just can't trump the governors in terms of, like, if they decide to keep it on, he can't walk in and say, okay, nope, everybody
goes
to work.
Exactly.
But with that said, one of the things, there are certain times when you're very grateful that Trump is president. I'm very grateful Trump is president for a couple of reasons right now, really. One of them is that because the Democrats have a vested interest in maximizing the power of government, you see this every time we have one of these stimulus package debates where they're just trying to load it up with crap, or whenever you see Joe Biden talk and he's like, oh, this is a great opportunity to push progressive, and then he sort of keels over.
He can
every
still talk? I was
that,
saying you were giving him more credit than he's due, but yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, his forehead, I was noticing this today. First of all, he's got a real Sam the Eagle look, and the forehead has actually moved all the way back. I've never seen it before. It's actually moved all the way back across the back of his head. His forehead actually begins
right
where normal people's bald spot actually begins. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But with all of that said, if you had a Democrat in charge right now, and Democrats were pushing for massive radical change, you know, Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste kind of stuff, the level of pushback against the lockdown orders would be 100 times magnified. People would be saying, this is all bull crap. This is all being done for a purpose. The fact that Trump keeps saying, I want to open up, is actually one of the things that's allowing the country to give it a chance to breathe for a second, because everybody knows that Trump doesn't want to be in this situation. Right. People like you, people like me, we're like, OK, we understand Trump wants to get out of this. We understand that there are a bunch of Republican governors who want to get out of this. And they're not using this crisis as an opportunity to maximize the power of government. If Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden were president right now, my great suspicion would be that they were attempting to do a bunch of very politically driven things in order to manifestly change the relationship between citizens and government. And I'm not cool with that.
I will say one thing on that note, and then we do have to go, that has been really disconcerting for me. You know, we've talked, people often make the argument where they say, oh, you think that if you have guns for the Second Amendment, you think you're going to fight off the government who has tanks? Like, well, yeah, because obviously unless you want to blow up your whole country, you want to preserve the resources. And then there have been some people who've said, and mostly rightfully so, but listen, most police officers and national, they're not going to come in and violate people's rights. I think that's mostly true. Unfortunately, I do think that we've seen it only takes a couple of bad apples. When you have officers fining people or zip tying husbands because they're kissing their wives in a public park, you do see that there are some police officers out there who are willing to abuse that authority and say these orders are coming from higher up, and it really makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the petty tyranny that can be unleashed when people feel power is really dangerous. And that's why I'm sort of hoping that one of the things that happens is in the aftermath of all of this, there's a bit of a libertarian moment because everybody just says, God, that was really terrible. Like, everybody was on our ass all the time.
Yeah. Right.
We just need everyone to leave us alone. And I think there is the potential for something like that.
Yeah, and that's why the left has been really brilliant. And that's why I think it's important to bring up, no, with social distancing, minimum 100 to 240,000. Because after this, when the number is inevitably lower compared to what they claim, they will say, well, you don't know how much of this is from social distancing. No. We know what you claimed would be possible with social distancing, and it's not even close to that. All right. The man is Ben Shapiro. The show is The Ben Shapiro Show. He's on the Twitter at Ben Shapiro. Noticing a theme here. And Ben Shapiro, editor-in-chief at Daily Wire. All right, sir. I thank you very much. I believe mensch is a complimentary term, not insult. Enjoy your Passover. Good.
Thank you,
mensch.
I appreciate it.
You filthy mensch. We'll be back. Oh. Steven Crowder here with Coffee Tips, sponsored by Black Rifle and Mug Club. It's a match made in heaven. So today we're going to be using the Black Rifle Chemex, 10-cup Chemex. I'm going to take my filter. I put that on the side of the spout so it allows airflow. Grind the beans, fresh beans, really important, whole beans. Black Rifle ships them freshly roasted to your door. Makes all the difference in the world. Wet the paper filter. That rinses out any like paper particles, especially if it's from China. And it warms the vessel. And I cannot stress to you the importance of a good grinder. Spend money on a good burr grinder. That'll make all the difference in the world because consistency is key. We ended up with about 34 grams. Grab your calculator. What's 34 times 16? Half Asian Bill, let me know that it is 544 milliliters, grams, simple. I am going to be pouring in 544 milliliters of water. I'm gonna bloom the coffee. And what does that mean? You wanna get everything wet and it releases gases. That's why you'll see it'll look kinda like a souffle. Do you want good coffee or you wanna drink cheap swill? Souffle is not that bad. You wanna aim for a 2.5 to 5 minute steep time. So really simple, good coffee. What do you need? Water between 195, 205, 8 grams per 5 ounce cup. And you want it to sit in contact with that coffee for 2.5 to 5 minutes, ideally 3. Now I'm gonna pour the rest of this coffee, get it up to 544. And now all I do is let it drain. And 3 minutes and 50 seconds on the button. This is where you can discard the filter. And there you have it, blackriflecoffee.com/Crowder. Enter the promo code Crowder, you get 20% off. They roast your coffee beans to order. I grind it right before I make it. Guarantee the best cup of coffee ever. It's a world of difference. Let me pour it. And the test that really matters, try that on for size.
I don't really drink coffee.
Snagging is illegal, Quarter Black Garrett. It's a fishing term, yeah. If you aren't familiar. Thank you so much, Ben Shapiro. I know it's a long show today, but you know what? Hold on, let me change my headphones here. We figure, why not?
Yeah.
You guys are lonely and do that one sad. For you, one for us. You don't know that I can actually look through your webcam. Should have used a sticky note. Tomorrow we have Good Morning Mug Club, of course, at 9 a.m., right?
9 a.m.
Wait, well, 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. Eastern. Sorry, 10 a.m. Eastern. I get the times all wrong. And I think we'll be talking a little bit more about Michigan and Whitmer because that's a little close to my heart. And sometimes gets a little nerdy where I'm talking about something regional, but Michigan is pretty important. Kind of like Detroit is the perfect example of leftist utopia for the entire country. Michigan right now is an example of, if unfettered, what the left would do with the entire country. And I want to see this broad ousted. I want to see her given the boot, figuratively. Don't hit women.
Yeah.
God, almost as uncomfortable as a Gary Shandling impression yesterday, where it was like, Governor Whitmer, every time I see her, I pee myself. My pants look like a Rorschach test. And even again, son of a bitch. So
you did it to yourself.
I did it to myself.
Nobody appreciates a good Shandling.
Nobody appreciates a good Shandling. Not like this guy. So anyway, a couple things I wanted to talk about, and I'll keep this brief. Listen, there have been some rough things that have gone on personally, separate from the whole quarantine thing, that I won't get into. But the truth is, I am amazed when you see a lot of these celebrities out there, even influencers, I guess to use the term now, basically people who sell tea and have big asses, talking about how hard this is. And it is remarkable to me. They do this to try and act as if, like, they're being selfless. Like, I'm with you. Right. And I understand this, by the way, where I've talked about my struggles, whether it's, depression or mental health issues or physical issues or whatever it is that we're going through as a company, so that hopefully you don't have to go through it alone. I understand the value in that. That being said, no one is concerned about having to walk through the valley of the shadow of mansions with indoor pools. It is just egotistical materialism. These people who are on Instagram, these celebrities are out there, whether it's Josh Gad or whoever it is, saying, I know how hard this is. Oh, we're just longing for connection. No, that's not why you're doing it. You're in a wonderful house with everything you could possibly imagine. This idea that this quarantine, too, people talk about this. Now, I don't like the quarantine because I think certain people should be quarantined. I think we should be able to open certain segments of the economy, blah, 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 so that you don't accuse me of hating old people here. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? But the problem that I have with the quarantine is not this idea that it's eliminated emotional connection. Because people who say that and who post this, and so they're just looking for emotional connection in the wrong places. Like, I have not suffered, I don't know about you guys, I have not suffered from a lack of connection with the people who matter most during this quarantine. I see my wife. I see my family. There's literally no one else I would rather be with. What am I longing for the people on Instagram or Twitter who I've never seen before? I still get to interact with you. I still get to do this for you. Am I going to become suicidal because I have to forego the cigar lounge for another quarter? It is remarkable to me. I think the tone deafness that bothers people is not that these folks are wealthy. I don't begrudge anyone for being wealthy. But this self-important crying on social media and I know how hard it is. I just want to. You just want to what? You just want to what? What is it that makes you happy that is so missing in your life right now that you are beside yourself? You don't. Everything that matters is right there. I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, I can't think now. There are some things that I would like to do. I'd maybe like to go out to a movie. I'd maybe like to go out to dinner. Absolutely. But there is no place that I am happier or more grateful or at peace than when I'm at home with my wife. You know what? Let me give you specifically. At home with my wife, we've had a good dinner, maybe some family over, which we still do. Sorry, I'm a rebel. I guess I'm not obeying the law. Yeah, sometimes my mom and dad come over, occasionally a sibling. Ho ho! I'm Billy the kid. After a good meal with family, and I sit down and watch some, either read or watch some television or a film with my wife. Betty's over there. My wonderful large dog, and she puts her head on my shoulder, and her snore is like a metronome. It just puts me right to sleep. It's very soft. It's like, I'm sitting there going, what do I have to be upset about? I couldn't possibly summon up the tears to do an Instagram selfie video based on the life that I've been living. And I've got to imagine there are a lot of people out there like that. Now, I'm not talking about losing your jobs is a real concern. That's not what these people are talking about. Not being able to go forward, not being able to go forth and provide a livelihood for your family, that's a real thing. And we are fortunate enough here that no one here has to worry about that. We had this conversation, what's an acceptable risk, what's not, we're going to continue to create content for you. But when people out there act as though something has been removed from their lives that has caused them to be depressed and sobbing, it means that something has been removed that has been put on an important pedestal where it never should have been. And this kind of comes down to a lot of it. You know, someone asked me this the other day. There was this, I don't do really a whole lot of press. And maybe I'll start doing that. Maybe I won't. I don't know. But someone asked me, how do I want to be remembered? And it's like on a selfish level, everyone wants a legacy, right? But listen, this time, I'll tell you exactly how I want to be remembered and how most people should seek to be remembered. At this point in history, this month, these 2 months, this quarantine, this COVID pandemic, I don't want you to remember me. I want you to hopefully remember that I was here for you. What I want you to remember is that everyone here worked hard for you. Not that we are XYZ. Not that we had to struggle with ABC. Don't seek to be remembered by what you did or what you accomplished. Strive to be remembered by what you did for others. That's how you cement a legacy worth having. And I think that until Hollywood gets this, there's going to be this out-of-touchedness that occurs when you have Gal Gadot sobbing in her own private orchard about how hard this has been on her. That's because someone is looking to cement a legacy that is all about themselves. And that is not a way to live. I think that this coronavirus pandemic, if nothing else, has really highlighted people's narcissism. Everyone thinking about, how can I relate to people? How can I relate my experience to someone else? Hey, asshole, how about you ask someone about their experience? If you can, like right now, I don't get to talk with you, but I've tried to at least empathize with your experience, tried to put myself in your shoes, everyone at this office has, and said, oh, okay, rather than sharing our experience, let's try to make yours better and more livable. And celebrities don't do that anymore. And the left isn't doing that right now. So I wish this could be a little more inspirational, but I'm kind of pissed off. And I didn't know why I was so pissed off seeing all of these videos and selfies until I realized these people don't give a rat's ass about anyone else or the country. They only care about being seen by the country so that it makes them feel good about themselves. Anyone out there seeking to cement a legacy, or if you're asking me how I want to be remembered, I will say this. This is important. At this point in history, I want you to look back at this time in your life and remember that everyone here was here for you. That's it. That's how I want to be remembered. Hopefully we can do it. We'll still be here for another 2 weeks. We will see you tomorrow. Good morning, Mug Club. Promo code quarantine, $30 off. Ooh, that's a good way to be remembered. Frugal. It only takes